Okay, I'm just going to pray for God's word. Father, in the name of Jesus, may your living and active word, your written word, your proclaimed word, speak into our lives this evening. Teach us your ways, O God. Help us to do as you would do. Help us, Lord, in that sense, to be your hands in this world, Lord, please. Give us the feet that will go, Lord God, where you will lead us. And give us the hearts to love as you want us to love. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, Keith showed how Joseph, the prisoner, was promoted to Pharaoh's 2IC, to second in command over Egypt. From prison to palace in one day. And I preached about something like this a while back, and I've been saying it again more recently. From prison to palace in one day. That is a suddenly of God. Now, you could imagine Joseph's day in prison began as normal, getting up, preparing to do his daily work, and following the prison regime. And then to hear the guard shout, "Joseph! Joseph! Get yourself ready! You're never going to believe this! But for some reason, Pharaoh wants to speak to you!" Joseph must have thought, "What's going on here? Am I going to get nutted like the baker? Or am I going to be, you know, exalted like the butler? What's going to happen?" Sure, he must have been a bit nervous about thinking, "What's this about? Joseph, get ready. Pharaoh, the head of the whole of Egypt, in fact, nearly the head of the whole known world at that time, has asked to see you, a prisoner." You can nearly imagine some of the prisoners thinking, "What's this all about? This isn't fair. This Jew sold in here to slavery and attempted rape, and Pharaoh wants to see him. That's not fair. I've been an Egyptian and I don't get to see Pharaoh." Anyway, on his way to his audience with Pharaoh, the official may have informed Joseph that Pharaoh had dreams. Listen, what did I tell you, Joseph? Pharaoh's had dreams. And that guy, the butler who was in jail with you, mentioned that he could interpret dreams. You could hear Joseph saying, "Aye, and not before flaming time." You know, a couple of years later, or whatever it is, he was left languishing in prison, waiting on the butler to remember that he was in prison too. And as Joseph said, "I am here for something I haven't done. I shouldn't be here." Of course, as Keith said, or somebody said recently, everybody in prison says they haven't done the crime that they're there for. But anyway, he's brought before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tells Joseph his dreams. And having interpreted Pharaoh's dreams about 7 productive years and 7 unproductive years as a coming time of plenty and then famine, Pharaoh appoints Joseph to manage and store the food produced in the 7 good years to allow Egypt to survive the 7 years of famine. For a young man who trusted in God, but to date faced so much heartache and hardship in his life, he could have thought, and I'm sure he must have thought many times, life's not fair. And then to experience a suddenly from God that totally transformed his circumstances. God's suddenlies still happen. They do come. But they're always in God's perfect time. And let me just say that again to you this evening, because whatever you're going through, you probably have been waiting for a long time, some maybe not as long as others, waiting for God to speak, waiting for God to move, waiting for God to change things in your life. And you really think, is it ever going to happen? Or you get to a point where you've just resolved to say, I'll try and get on with things as best I can, but truthfully, I don't even think it's going to happen. Trust me, God suddenly is coming, but it will be in his time. Let's read together Genesis chapter 42, and I'm reading the first 5 verses. When Jacob, that's Joseph's dad, when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another? And he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother Benjamin with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel, that's Jacob, went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. At least, by this point, at least 7 years has happened. So since Joseph has been raised up, because there was the 7 years of good, and then there would be the 7 years of famine. So at least 7 years later, and back home in Canaan, Joseph's dad Jacob was feeling the strain of the famine that was over all the lands. They had 70 mouths to feed. That was the size of this family. There were 70 of them, and they had to be fed. And they had animals to look after. But the famine had ravished the land. Now Jacob saw, and whatever that means, it says he saw that there was grain in Egypt, and he said to his sons, why are you boys standing here looking at one another? There's grain in Egypt. Away down and buy some. And he sent 10 of his sons for the grain, but he refused to send the youngest one, Benjamin, because he was too afraid that something might happen to him, just like he thought his son Joseph had been mauled by wild animals. He didn't want anything to happen to Benjamin, his youngest son. And his sons left and went to buy grain. You see, the world that we live in, as I was praying there, the world that we live in is full of hardships. I mean, I was watching a bit of that Songs of Praise. I don't watch that too often because a lot of times it's loaded out rubbish. But I was watching a bit of it tonight about the Aberfan tragedy of those kids. I mean, they were all kids, just as normal, going to their school when as whatever happened, the whole side of the hill looked like a mountain. Just slid down and completely engulfed them. And I think 113 children like that lost their lives, and a number of others lost their lives. This world is full of difficulties and tragedies and hardships. Most of us, I'm sure, witnessed the plight of the starving people in Africa. Do you remember, you know, it must be Christmas or something, that song that they sang, Band-Aid sang. And you saw the awful images of why they were all coming together to sing and to try to sell this record so that they could raise the money to help feed these starving Africans. We've witnessed these many, many times. We've witnessed other areas of this world where famines have ravished the land, where it's ravished crops and livelihoods. We've seen the plight more recently of the Syrian people faced with constant bombings and attacks as day and night cities and towns and villages are bombarded with missiles and gunfire. Thousands even now are trying to flee Mosul in Iraq because of the attack that's taken place to try to drive ISIS out of it. All of us have watched news reports about terrible earthquakes destroying entire cities, towns and villages, killing thousands and leaving many more homeless. Look, there is absolutely no doubt that this world is full of hardships, and it was like that, pardon me, in Jacob's day. A famine had ravished the land. Look, and I could go on about wars, about conflicts, about sicknesses, about disabilities, diseases, even the death of loved ones that affect people's lives on a daily basis. And if we're honest and the least bit compassionate, we too must sometimes think, life's not fair. Do you know how unfair life can be? That some people who survive tragedies are overwhelmed with guilt that they have survived. And some of those people end up taking their own lives because they were so overwhelmed with the guilt of having survived a tragedy while others didn't. And they thought, life's not fair. Jacob faced a crisis. This isn't a wee just Bible story. He faced a crisis. If this was on the BBC, this would be showing starving, dying people. Famine was threatening his family and his livestock. And if they didn't find food soon, they would die. I'm sure at his age, Jacob probably thought he'd see out the remaining days of his life with no more heartache or hardships. And when the famine started to impact, when it started to really impact him and put him and his family and livestock at risk, he probably, even at his age, thought to himself, life's not fair. I've been through enough. Something needed to be done. It would seem Jacob's sons were just absolutely unsure about what to do. Their dad said to them, what are you guys doing standing around looking at each other as if they were absolutely powerless to do anything? And often that is what a crisis does. It makes people feel powerless to do anything, and then they don't do anything. How often have you watched on TV the events that I mentioned and you felt powerless to do anything about it? Jacob, however, saw that there was grain in Egypt and knew that they had to go get it. And 10 of his sons left on the 200-mile journey. But Jacob refused to send his new favorite son, Benjamin, and made him stay behind. As one person, and that's you tonight, as one person, you may not be able to change the world, but you could change one person's world. I'll say that again. As one person, you may not be able to change the world, but you could change one person's world. You see, every crisis that we read about or watch unfolding on TV, such as a famine in Africa, a war in Syria or Iraq or other country, can often make us feel powerless to do anything. And so we just don't do anything. Like Jacob's sons, in a sense, we just stand around looking at each other saying, isn't that awful? What's happening over there? And yet, if these crises affected us here in Bangor, I would bet most of us would try to do something, if only to save ourselves and our families. You know something? A little help by means of a donation to a crisis appeal is one way that we can try to make a difference. You see, we get it in our heads, ugh, my £5 is not going to make any difference. You may not be able to change the world, but your £5 could change one person's world. See, it may not be much, but who knows? Although it might not change the world, it just might change one person's world. And I'm not standing up here tonight to say every time a text thing comes on TV saying give us £3 for this and £3 for that and save the land or anything like that. I'm not saying to people what they can or can't do with their money. What I'm saying to you is don't sit saying you're powerless to do anything, because you're not. A crisis makes you feel like you're powerless to do anything, but you're not, especially not if you're a Christian. When we see others suffering, and this is what the Bible teaches, when we see others suffering around us, struggling, either here close to home or further afield, we should show and demonstrate some compassion. You see, another person's hardship today is our opportunity to help. Because who knows if tomorrow we may face hardship and wouldn't we like someone to come along and reach out to help us? The world is full of hardships and life isn't fair. It's a reality that we have to get used to. But it doesn't mean that we can't help and support one another when we face difficulties. If we all just stood around like Jacob's sons looking at each other, nothing would ever be done. All of those aid convoys that go out wouldn't go out because people would be standing looking at each other, believing the lie in the midst of the crisis that they're powerless to do anything. As one person, when you see that crisis, as one person amid millions of starving Africans, amid millions, thousands of refugees from Syria, or hundreds of thousands coming, trying to get into the country in Calais, whatever it is. As one person, you may not be able to change the world, but you could change one person's world if you would reach out with the love of God. And I was thinking about this during the week. Shiloh has been used by God to change a lot of people's worlds. And I'm just going to touch on something. Remember Moldova? And the people that all went out from Shiloh to Moldova to make the difference in that very poor country. Reaching out with the love of God to the young people that, and it's not a brag, that we sent the money out to, in that sense, to bring them all for a week or 2 weeks holiday to talk to them about Jesus. That made a difference in some people's worlds. I think of Jimmy going out to India, to Little Hearts. Babaji, who we hope now has gone to be with the Lord. But that made a difference. That changed one person's world. When Jimmy came and said, we need a wheelchair, but they couldn't get the right type of wheelchair, so we got a bed, and we helped contribute towards that for Babaji. We didn't change the world. But we changed one person's world. When we think of Menina Dansa and those children as young as 10, young girls being sent out onto the streets, dangerous streets, to be prostitutes, we changed maybe one child's world because we reached out to try to make a difference. When we think of Israel and the Society for the Distribution of Hebrew Scriptures who used to come here, when we think of the Christian Witness to Israel who would have come here and we give donations in helping to reach Jewish people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We won't know until the other side, till heaven, how we may have changed the world for one person. When we think of our own communities with the food store donations, you think you're just bringing in a couple of tins of beans and a couple of whatever else. You're changing someone's world. Someone who is hungry, wondering, where am I going to get the money to feed my children? You have made that difference. Christian, remember, God in His wonderful love looked upon us when we faced the greatest crisis of all, death and eternal separation from Him. He sent His Son Jesus to rescue us and to give us life. And now that we have life in Him, let's offer our lives in service to Him by serving others and making a difference for good in their lives. You see, I don't want to be the type of person like Jacob's sons who stands around doing nothing when others are in need. Is that the sort of person you want to be? As we freely received grace and mercy from our compassionate God, so we too should seek to show love and mercy to others. And those others are anyone in need. You see, if it is in our power to make a difference and we don't do it, that's sin. Christian, God has called you to be His hands to reach out, to be His feet to go where He wants you to go, and to do what He wants you to do. Remember what He said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was homeless, you took me in. When I was sick and in prison, you visited me. And they said, but Lord, when? When did we do these things for you? And Jesus said, when you did it for the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Be the hands, the feet, and all that the Lord calls you to be. Because He wants to use you to make a difference. Because you might not change the world, but trust me, He wants you to change at least one person's world. Maybe tonight you're here and you're not yet a Christian. Well, I need to say, life's not fair. Get used to it. It's a reality we all face. The Christian, the believer in Jesus, has a hope in God that surpasses the crises in life. You see, we have God's promise that in all things He's working for our good because we love Him and He loves us. You too could know the love of God and know Him as your faithful friend. But you're still faced with a crisis worse than any famine or earthquake because you face death and hell. And right now, you are separated from God because of your sin. That is a crisis because you don't know when your life will end. You must confess your sin. Agree with God that you are a sinner. You must turn to God and ask for forgiveness. Turning from your sin and put your trust in Jesus. Jesus is God's answer to your every crisis in life. Trust Him and He will give you abundant, everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for the lesson that we learned tonight from this short account of Jacob and his sons. In the midst of a crisis, Jacob, Lord, was not prepared to just stand around and do nothing. His sons, Lord God, were believing the lie of the crisis that they were powerless to do anything. But thank You that Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt. And he said, get up and go. Father, thank You. Thank You for this story, Lord God, that tells us that in every crisis in life, Lord, we can get up and go to Jesus. And we can find the strength and the wisdom and the help that we need, Lord God. But Father, help us to remember that just as You have graciously shown us compassion and mercy, Lord God, You want us to be compassionate toward others. Lord, we recognize that we may not be able to change the world, but with Your help, we could certainly change one person's world. And so we ask that in the coming days and week, You would lead us to those people where we can make the difference because of Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.